Morning, this is 2 October 2002. This is a tape recorded lecture on the nature of auditing. This is a non-confidential lecture given to members of the ICAWS Church. We're Protestant Scientologists. We believe that the Prophet LRH gave us the data that form the core of our old philosophy, and this series of lectures is to avoid some of the copyright infringements and things that the Church of Scientology tries to sue people out of existence with, and yet still be able to communicate the data necessary to resolutions of the problems of the human spirit. Anyway, what this tape is called is What is Auditing? Now, an auditor is a very special person. The word audit itself means basically to listen. Now, an auditor does quite a bit more than listen. There are several communication cycles and things that happen in an auditing session. A spiritual counselor would be another name for this person, or a minister in our new church. All auditors will be ministers. Now, a minister is giving you a little closer definition of what an auditor is. Basically, they are talking to one of their clients. They are finding out what is troubling that client, and they are directing their attention to some areas that may help resolve some of the problems of life and living in that client. Auditing is a specialized Scientology term. It doesn't mean going over the books and see what's happening. An auditor or a counselor, in our particular case, a minister, which is going to be used rather interchangeably as we develop and create this new church, is a spiritual counselor. The reason we say that they're a spiritual counselor is not because they're giving you any kind of advice about which spirit to worship or which spirit did this or that or the other thing. What they are is addressing the spirit. In the earlier tape and some of the earlier intro lectures, it was gone over very thoroughly what a spirit was, what a pre-clear was, that's somebody that isn't clear yet, and some of the techniques that were used to make these new states of beingness and to achieve a greater spiritual freedom for persons. A minister in our ICAWS church is an auditor. He's the same as an old Scientology auditor. There are several different communication cycles that go on. I'll back up a bit here and define a cycle for you. A cycle is a completed action. It has a start, it has a change where you're continuing along with it, and it has an end. If you're going to build a house, you go out and you flatten out the ground, you start it, you build the foundations, and you continue along, and you put up the walls and the roof and so forth, and then finally when it's all done, it's finished. That's a stop. There's no use trying to build a house anymore, it's already built. So we have start, change, and stop as a cycle of action. If you wish to learn more about this, you should read one of the books by LRH. Handbook for Preclears is a good one, goes over some of this, Fundamentals of Thought. There are many of the basic books that will impart an enormous amount of data about life and livingness. This lecture is the various cycles, the various start, changes, and stops that happens in a counseling session with a minister and a client. In Scientology terminology, we call them a pre-clear, and this meant basically anybody that was receiving spiritual counseling, and then once they were clear, then they were pre-OT, which was operating Thetan, and that meant an immortal being that was able to operate. We're going to call these new states ICs, I believe, at this time. and this is because this is the immortality course. We are going to be delivering this, these technologies of the prophet, and because the old Church of Scientology copyrighted all the words, and they attack us quite heavily. If we use any of the words or trademarks or logos or anything else, we're just going to have to make up our own words. And so we're going to call things ICs instead of OTs, and that's a section of the immortality course completion. So we have IC 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, instead of OT 1, 2, 3, 4. Now these levels are not going to be equivalent. It's entirely possible that IC 1 completion is not going to be the same as an OT 1. Basically, this immortality course starts at the bottom, where a person first enters the organization or the churches, and is going to continue to the top of what we have known at this particular time. The lectures and data of L. Ron Hubbard, when applied, the data when applied to a being will break them into very high states. So this is going to be our immortality course. I don't know exactly what we're going to call the individuals. For now, we will just call them spirits. I will use interchangeably theta, which is a very specialized definition in Scientology. There, all of this stuff can be looked up, but we might as well start getting used to some of the terminology now, and actually even inventing the terminology as we go along. So some of these beginning tapes may not have the same data in them as the later tapes, but nonetheless I will try in each one of these to explain the terms and things that we have. Now, a auditing comm cycle, a comm means communication cycle. Again, you'll look through the basic data of LRH for what a communication is. A communication, quite simply, is a cause. You have some distance, and over there on the other side, you've got effect. You've got somebody that's listening. You've got somebody that's talking. You've got a space in between them, and you've got somebody that is listening. Now, you don't have to talk. You can throw a ball back and forth. It's an exchange of particles back and forth across the space. One-way communication is the particles going one way. Two-way communication is the particle going the other way. In one-way communication, the person says, hello, and the other person looks at him and says, all right. And he acknowledged. In two-way communication, he would say, hello, and the other person says, all right, how are you? And he's originated another communication cycle back to the source of the first one. So we have cause, distance, effect. Part of the laws of this communication is that a person must have his attention on who is communicating. Now, of course, if you're trying to talk to somebody and he's looking off at the sky, you're not going to get much attention, much communicating done, because his attention is just not there. He has to duplicate what you say. If you say blee blee and he thinks you said racka racka, there is no communication there. He did not duplicate. So that's part of the little line that in communication, it has to be duplicated at effect point of what started out at the cause point. So if he says blee blee and it goes across the space and the person duplicates blee blee, very good. We have part of the communication there. Now, another little line in communication is that it has to be understood. Now, if you say blee blee to somebody and he don't know what that means, you haven't really got any kind of a communication. But if you say blee blee to somebody and he knows that that means go over there and pick up the shovel, and he goes over and picks up the shovel, that's perfect communication. So we have many encoded symbols, we have many words, we have many different ways of attaching significance and meaning to some of our communication particles. We are going to not go into the ultimate mechanics of communication or cycles or anything else in this particular case, in this particular tape, rather, but we are discussing what auditing is and the various cycles and things that's going to occur in this auditing, what some of the data information that the client needs to know, some of the information that the minister needs to know. Many, many times you will have a new person, they don't know exactly what that you want them to do. You have to sit there and you have to word clear. Word clearing means to find the exact definitions of all of the words and use them in sentences until the person fully understands the definition of that word. That's what word clearing is. So if you're going to have a client, you're going to give them a command, an auditing command, or a spiritual improvement command, and you say, go over and touch that wall, and the guy wants to open the window, you haven't really done your job as an auditor. One, there's an auditor's code or a counselor's code, and one of the things that you promise not to do is let a client run a wrongly understood command. If you want him to go over and touch the wall, you make very sure before you have him do that, that he knows that you want him to walk over to that wall, to stick his hand on it, to stick his foot on it, whatever you want him to do. You want to make sure that he absolutely knows what you want him to do before you ask him to do it. To do anything else, you're setting yourself and the client up for some failures. So this is part of the spiritual counseling communication cycle here. You have a client that's over in one space. You have your minister who is in another space, your counselor. And he's going to communicate across that space to the client some significance, some meaning. He's going to give them some sort of a command, or he's going to ask them about something. He's going to have a communication with the client, and then the client is going to go through some more things. Now, we have many little communication lines that happen in a counseling session. We have one communication line that runs from the auditor over to the client. And then in order for the client to answer, he has to have another communication line from the client back to the auditor. Now, because we have a composite being here, we're not just dealing with just the spirit themselves. They have a mind. They have a couple minds. They have three minds. They have a reactive mind that's unconscious. They have an analytical mind that they know about. They've got a somatic mind that is basically running the body. It's keeping the heart beating and making the digestion go and growing cells and things like this. It runs outside of the being. He doesn't have to digest his food on purpose. This somatic mind just runs the body without any help or attention further from the being that's occupying and running that body. Now, the being can communicate to any one of those parts. He can communicate to the physical body. He can communicate to the reactive mind. He can communicate to the analytical mind. He can actually communicate to the somatic mind. He can communicate to the universe around him. He can communicate to pictures. There's a great many various communication lines that the client can put on something and pull back information from it or perceive. Perception is basically communication. So when you're asking him, do you see something, you're asking him, can you communicate to whatever area that we're looking at?
Okay.
Now in this auditing, this spiritual counseling, we have several different communication cycles. The first one that we're going to look at is called the What's It line. And it's just exactly what it says. You ask the PC, what is it? You know, what do you see there? And the second one is called the It's a line. Now, the auditor asks the PC, then the PC looks into the bank and he finds something. And he says, it's a big pain in my head. Now, the It's a line is what causes the erasure of this thing. When the PC looks at it, according to the axioms, he'll duplicate it exactly and it'll vanish. And the action of him saying it is a blah, 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 blah is what's going to cause it to go away. Now, if he's saying, well, I think maybe it's a sort of kind of like maybe this or that, or you're not really doing much good. And he's just kind of hitting all around the thing. He's not going to really erase it very much. But what does cause the erasure is whenever he says, it is a blah blah. In In other words, he's spotted it exactly, he's identified it, and he's telling the auditor what it is. And of course, the auditor acknowledges it. So you have the communication line, a one-way communication line between the auditor or the counselor and the client, the PC. And then you have a communication line from the client back to the counselor. You have a communication line from the client to his bank. You have the communication line actually from the auditor to the PC's bank. Many times as an auditor, you'll see the picture well before the pre-clear does. You'll be sitting there and knowing that, for example, the client's telling you, oh yes, when I was 3 years old, there was something funny going on with Grandpa, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I felt kind of dirty, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you're sitting there, and you know Grandpa molested this child. Of course, the client doesn't recognize that yet. The only thing they're being able to look at is the parts of that Ingram or the parts of that part of the bank that they're aware of. They don't see the full truth of it, and sooner or later they'll say, well, you know, Grandpa was doing something to me. It'll come around from a maybe to an it's a line, and then they'll recover all the postulates in the incident and so forth, and the incident will vanish or de-intensify, and the client won't get much better. So this basically is what auditing is. This is getting in communication with the client, finding out what's troubling the client, having the client look for these pictures. Basically, that's all that we're looking for in auditing is pictures. We're looking for recordings of the time track, because in present time, there is only present time. Auditing also make a person communicate with present time. Look at that wall, touch that wall. These are all present time processes. You walk over to the wall, you put your hand on it, and you say, yeah, it's a wall, all right. So every time that you have a person do that, you're bringing them into contact with the present time. So we're not always in counseling looking back along the past or dealing with pictures. The various techniques of counseling include making the person contact present time. Now, he can contact present time as he sees it. He could contact present time in somebody else's universe. He could contact it in the agreed-upon universe. He can contact his own universe. For example, you could tell a guy to get the idea of a big block of ice floating above your head, and he says, I can do that. I see the ice. Or you could have him get the idea of a block of ice floating in above somebody else's head. Or you could just have him have it floating in the physical universe someplace. So the Thetan can operate in any universe. There are three universes. Your universe, or your whatever you can postulate and perceive. You have the other fellow's universe, which is just the other person's mental matter, energy, space, and time, or spiritual matter, energy, space, and time. And we have the agreed-upon universe is what we all hold true. This is simply by agreement. There's no more solid or any more real than those agreements. The auditing, the counseling that we are doing here needs to have several things occur. We have to have the communication cycle present. The auditor has to have a desire and a willingness to help the client. The auditor has to grant beingness to the client. In other words, he's got to let the client have whatever it is that he says he has. If he's got a pain in the neck, the auditor doesn't sit there and says, oh no, you don't have a pain in the neck, or that's not what we're going to be dealing with. You have to accept the pre-clear's data. If he tells you, I see a 19-foot dragon behind you, you don't say, no, you don't see a dragon. You say, thank you very much. There's many lines to the auditor's code. Spiritual counselor's code is we revise it and reissue it. But you promise not to evaluate for the pre-clear. You don't tell him what to think about these pictures. Many times he'll say, well, you know, I see this this picture of Grandpa molesting me here. Is that what happened? And you're not going to say, yeah, Grandpa did, Grandpa didn't. You're not going to say anything. You do not evaluate for the pre-clear. You do not evaluate for the client. You don't tell them what to think about the pictures. Your job is get them to tell you what is there. If you go around and start telling people what to think about their own mind, you're not doing them any good at all. In fact, that's what's wrong with them right now, for the most part, is there's just been too many people tell them what to think about their own mind, or if they had a mind. And this is one of the reasons why psychology and psychiatry and so forth and dream reading and things are unworkable. Because there's somebody sitting there evaluating for the person constantly. And they tell them, well, you know, your dream means that you're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome man, and he's going to carry you off on a golden steed. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that if the person had a dream. You can't interpret these things. Strictly speaking, a client-counselor relationship, a pre-clear auditor relationship, everything is confidential. You don't pass out secrets gained in session for any reason. If there could be a reason, it would be something along the lines of helping the pre-clear. The pre-clear tells you, I went out and murdered Joe yesterday. Well, you're in quite a quandary at that point. Do you violate the client's confidence of him telling you that he killed Joe, and do the right thing and report it to the authorities, or do you maintain your auditor's code and not tell about it? The fact is that you maintain the auditor's code. In session, whatever a pre-clear or a client tells you is confidential. You do not discuss this with other people. You'll find that it's sometimes very difficult even to use data from one pre-clear's session or his session data to even help another one. Best way you can do if you're going to use something like that, if you're going to use a demo or an example out of a session, is you make sure that you get that pre-clear's agreement that that session data can be used, can be made known to other people. If you violate this, you're going to very shortly find yourself with no pre-clears. Pre-clears are our clients, people, thetans, beings, spirits. They know what's going on. They may act like they don't know, but if you're sitting there as an auditor, as a counselor, and you're letting this pre-clear tell you about his secrets and his worries and trials and tribulations, and you're sitting there in your head going, well, you know, boy, I think Joe would really like to hear this, that pre-clear, that client, will just shut up right there. You will not have a communication line to the auditor. You will not have a communication line to the pre-clear, and regardless of the action, the appearance that's happening, you're not going to get any auditing done. Now, one of the little lines in the definition of an auditing session, basically, is that the pre-clear is interested in his own case, in his own way that he responds to the world by reason of his aberration, and he's willing to talk to the auditor. In other words, he's got some interest in what's going on. He wants to get his lumbago handled, or he wants to deal with this pain in the knee, or why he can't talk to women or men. And he's willing to talk to the auditor about it. Now, if he's mad at the auditor, if he doesn't trust the auditor, if he's worried about getting his parking meter paid so he doesn't get a ticket, these are various things that will keep a session from occurring. If the pre-clear is not interested in his own case, if he's not He's not going, well, you know, yeah, I've got a knee ache, but man, I got to get out of here. My daughter's graduation is in 20 minutes. I can't be looking at this pain in the leg. You don't have a session. There are several things that need to occur before you have a session, and the primary one is that the preclear is interested in his own case, and he's willing to talk to the auditor. If you start violating the auditor's code, the counselor's code, you start dropping out these little things, you'll very shortly find yourself with a preclear unwilling to communicate to you. The minute that this happens, then you have no auditing. These are hard and fast rules. They came from thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of many, many different people in many case states auditing and delivering the spiritual counseling, and these are some of the things that you have to follow. These are rules that you have to follow if you want this auditing to occur. If the preclear is tired, they didn't get enough sleep, if they're drunk or they're using drugs or they have a present time problem. A present time problem by definition is something that bothers the preclear so much that he feels like he needs to do something about it right now rather than be audited. A good example is he's got to go put a meter or money in a parking meter. He doesn't want to get an $80 ticket when it would only cost him a quarter, and he wants to go out there right now and do it, and he doesn't want to continue with the session. He wants to go put his money in the meter. Well, things like this, there's many things that you handle in the rudiments or the basics of a session. As you handle ARC breaks, these are things that the person is upset about or he's sad about. You handle problems, present time problems. These are things that is got the preclear's attention stuck on him. He needs to do something about right now. You handle missed withholds. Missed withholds is a special definition. You have an overt action, a bad action that's the greatest harm across the dynamics, the least good. Anyway, it's a contra-survival action. It's a bad thing. He's committed an overt. He just went and stole something. Now, when he doesn't tell that he stole, he is withholding it. He is not saying. He is just not communicating whatever it is. Now, Miss Withhold is a special animal. He's already had himself an overt. He's done something bad. He's withheld it. He didn't tell about it. And then someone almost found out. Whether he really did almost find out, it makes no difference. The fact that the preclear thinks he almost found out. You'll see this sometimes. Well, what did Joe do that missed this withhold? Well, he looked at me funny. See, Joe didn't really know anything. He just looked at him funny. And he thought, well, for sure, maybe he knows that I've been stealing money from the kitty. Or it's a missed withhold. It puts a person in a condition of mystery. They wonder whether or not anybody found out or the particular person found out. A missed withhold is just that. It's a withhold that was re-stimulated. In other words, it was activated in the reactive mind, had some attention put on it, and it was almost found out about. So you will be wondering, did they find out about it? So this is part of the rudiments, is a missed withhold. You want to make sure that the preclear is rested, that he's not sitting there sick and falling off the chair because he's asleep. And he's got reasonable vitamins in him, that he's full of food. This is another thing you're going to find out as you audit. You can have somebody come in and they just ate a big, great, big, giant meal. You audit them for 2 hours and they're starving to death. Moving this reactive mind, erasing these pictures and things, burns up energy. It burns up energy very quickly. Some people faster than others. I don't know if it's got anything to do with the amount of TA or tone arm motion. This is the erasure on the meter of the tone arm. It's basically a measure of how much mass has came on to the PC and how much he's erased. We call it TA or tone arm movement. It's just a meter of a movement of the meter dial in a downward motion. That means it erased. So case gain or progression along the spiritual immortality path is measured in tone arm divisions. They're an arbitrary division, but we colloquially call case gain TA, short for tone arm. In other words, the TA is moving and the person's getting better. If the TA isn't moving, it's just sitting there. The guy's going talk, talk, talk. Nothing's happening. He's just shuffling mass and stuff around in his mind. He's not erasing it or anything. You're not going to get any TA movement. And the minute that he starts going, it's a this or it's a that, then the TA is going to start moving. He's going to erase these pictures and recover whatever abilities are lying underneath these pictures. So these are the rudiments of auditing. The very first things that you need to get in for auditing to occur, there has to be a pre-clear there. He has to be interested in his own case and willing to talk to the counselor or the auditor. You have to have an auditor there. You have to have a counselor that's interested in helping the pre-clear. And he's got to have some kind of a process to be running. Now, just the two-way communication cycle alone will produce tremendous gain, because the guy has been walking around most of his life and nobody's ever had any two-way communication with him. He goes, hi, how are you? And they just sort of look at him and walk on by, and like he did, wasn't even there. So most people will get good gain whenever they sit down and they say hello, and you say hello, how are you, and fine, thank you, and you have this two-way communication line going. The auditor is not really doing anything. All he's doing is getting in communication with the PC. Many people will get good gain out of just that, just actually being in a reasonable communication cycle. And if you have some processes or you have some drills or something that you want to run on a client at that point, then all the much the better. That's where you're going to get your case gain. But basically, auditing is being in good communication with the person that you're trying to help, the person being in good communication with you and interested in their own case. Any pre-clear or any person new to auditing should realize that they should take a balanced set of vitamins. They should be well fed. They should be rested. There are a few little things like this. You can't be drinking 24 hours before a session, otherwise you're just burning it up. It's going to be kind of useless of trying to get the guy to find pictures when half of them are buried in alcohol. If the person's been doing drugs, the same thing occurs. They're unable to find the pictures, they're unable to create them. If they're full of aspirin or painkillers, the same thing occurs. They cannot see these pictures. You're just sort of wasting the time. Now, that's not to say that auditing doesn't work, because you can get a guy in there with a half a bottle of aspirin in him, and you can run out whatever pain or whatever his attention is on at that time, and you can erase it, and he will get better. And then later on, after the aspirin wears off, you go back in the same area, you'll find that there's much more data there that he was unable to reach because of this aspirin or these drugs. Just because a person is on drugs or alcohol or anything else is not a reason not to audit them. You audit them anyway. If the auditing is not as effective as it could be, well, that's just tough luck. You didn't take the drug. You didn't force the pre-clear to take the drugs. All you're trying to do is help them over the top of these drugs. One of the reasons a person takes drugs in the first place is they can't confront these pictures. That's the only reason they're taking drugs. They can't confront these pictures. They get to thinking about it, and they get these pressures and feelings, and so they take drugs to wipe out the uncomfortable places and actually exteriorize a little bit from the bank or whatever, and they get a sense of well-being. This is why a person takes drugs. So whenever they start getting auditing and they start removing these painful incidents and unconscious pressures and so forth, they will quit taking drugs. They don't even want them anymore. They're not interested in them. They're no good, and they know it. So that's one of the rudiments that you have in auditing. You can't have a pre-clear sitting there full of drugs.